Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. Today is Sunday, Christmas Day. So instead of the usual daily stories from me, it's your turn. I call this the weekly challenge, where I post the topic and you come up with the stories. I also make excuses for the poor audio quality, whether it's a broken headset, oh, wait, Santa got me a new one, yay, cats fighting in the background, oh, Santa got me a spray bottle, get out of here, you little rats, or horrible sinus and headache issues, yay, Santa brought me drugs. The topic this week was Christmas. We've got a whole lot of stories this week. Oh my, it's like A Wonderful Life, only in audio format. And I'm just sitting here sorting through MP3s and emails. But other than that, it's just like it. My mouth is bleeding. So let's go ahead and get right to it. First up, let's see who we've got. Oh my, there are so many people. It's somebody new. It's Raven. Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast, Raven. I want to hear your story. Come on up and share it with us.
I am the sort of man that never buys socks. Instead of cursing the multitude of singles gathered in the drawer, only taking action if one tear is top to toe. But one glorious Christmas, years ago, my in-laws started a tradition of gifting me sets of perfectly fitting socks. I always accepted the socks enthusiastically, being certain to express my genuine gratitude. Then, a few Christmases later, inexplicably, they stopped. I was shocked, saddened, and stupefied. Seeing my sorrow, my wife whispered, "I'll knit you some, dear." And once more the season was worth celebrating. I think she's lost the pattern.
Thank you, Raven. And the midget thanks you for giving him an opportunity to participate this week. He reads the stories that people send in when they don't record them. Imagine like he's an elf. A helper elf. That, well, he's not very good at baking cookies or making shoes, or making toys, or shooting arrows and saving hobbits. Okay, enough of that. Next up is David. Cool. This is Dave. Yeah, all right. We've got Dave from that Jen and Dave show. Welcome back. This is like a reunion. Yeah. Okay, you can tell I've taken something, haven't you? All right. Well, here's Dave.
Okay, Santa. Strip down, put on the gown, and I'll be right back. If you don't mind, we have a small group of interns. I'd like to observe your annual fit Christmas physical, if you don't mind.
Ho, ho, ho. Not at all. The more, the merrier.
The doctor and 100 elves dressed in lab coats march into the room. By magic, they all fit in the examination room. The doctor checks Santa's vitals.
Okay, Santa, let's check that prostate.
The doctor pulls on a candy cane striped glove and dips it into a container of lube.
Ho, ho, ho!
Exclaimed Santa.
Wow, Santa got his chimney cleaned. Dang. You hanging around the flue a little much there, Doc? Oh, thank you, Dave, and welcome back. And don't ever leave me, ever again. Next up is Veronica. She's new here. We've got a lot of new people here. I hope you're all wearing name tags, otherwise this might get uncomfortable. Anyway, she says she's here because of Jeff Heights' plea for stories. Aw, he could have pled guilty, and instead he pled stories. I bet his lawyer's pissed at him. Oh, and Veronica is at Voices by Veronica. Oh, those were the voices in my head. Cool. All right, Veronica, let's see what you've got.
Dwayne thought he'd lost every bit of his misspent youth when he'd gotten married and settled down in Cleveland. The Flock of Seagulls bumper sticker had faded, a fleeting reminder of his days as a member of Albatross Love. At home with his wife and daughters, he drank his coffee while the girls tore into Christmas presents, squealing in delight. When the wrapping paper settled, one gift remained beneath the tree. "Daddy, open it!" Jenny demanded. He opened the box, and memories rushed back. He lifted the keytar reverently from the tissue paper. Truly, there was a Santa Claus.
Yes, there was. Thank you, Veronica. And don't ever leave. Please keep coming back for more and more and more. Why? Because it's not the weekly challenge without challengers. Pat yourselves on the back, folks. You're challengers. Yes, you are. You're not just participants, or suckers, or volunteers. You are challengers. You are stakeholders. You are investing words in a great project. Which, oh, this has nothing to do with real estate? All right, never mind. Thank you, Veronica. Next up, it's Will Ross. Holy crap! They let him out of the hospital? Oh my God! And they let him have internet access? Oh, Lord. Are the doors locked? Oh. Hi, Will. How are you doing? Can you just slip that under the door? Yeah, I'll take it from here. No, seriously. It's good to see you, Will. And it's great seeing all the stuff that you're writing up at Prefaces and Asides. That wacky Bobby. Ha! Will he ever learn? Probably not, because he's a really dumb kid. Oh, well, let's keep going here. Will? Tell us a story.
The Grinch lay on the operating table. Green chest cracked open, ribs exposed, Santa's suit sliced down the middle. Heart monitor, flatlined. Time of death, noted. Why? Asked Cindy Lou Who was no more than two. Did you try? An enlarged heart, said Dr. Ray Spears, who'd been schooled for 12 years. 3 sizes too big. We tried, but... what rhymes with his heart exploded? The doctor asked.
It just isn't fair. He just learned to care, shouted Cindy Lou Who, now on grief stage 2.
It's always hardest this time of year, the doctor said.
Merry Christmas!
Wow, that's sick. Good job, Will, and thank you. And please keep coming back. I think it should be conditions of your terms of parole or release or that thing that you signed that the devil put in front of you. I'm not sure. Maybe you can get a... I don't know. Oh, yeah. Oh, hi, everybody. I'm back. Next one is Thomas Petrie. Oh, my God. Did I pronounce that right for once? Last week, I just said Thomas over and over again and thought, yeah. So, here's Thomas's stories. Yes, there are 2 of them. And yes, he recorded them. And yes, I'll just hit play now.
A.O. didn't know it was Christmas. Someone saw him alongside the muddy road and threw him a crust of bread. A.O. didn't know his mother had died after she covered him and left him on the road. She was too sick to do anything for him, and she hoped that someone would feed him and give him a sip of water if they saw him there alone. A.O.'s mother didn't know it was Christmas either. No one in the village knew it was Christmas. Everyone was so sick and delirious, they were not sure of the month. Baba's family posed for their annual Christmas picture at their home. The resulting greeting card would be printed and mailed to all their friends and relatives. Over 150 cards would be mailed out to Baba's best automobile customers. Baba ran an executive Lexus dealership in Seattle. He was top salesman of the year and deeply involved in his church and the local Boys and Girls Club. Everyone admired his business acumen and accepted him in spite of his addiction to nudity, no matter how he expressed it, and in spite of his appearance in the family Christmas card.
Thank you, Thomas, and Merry Christmas to you. Petrie. See? I said it right. It's a Christmas miracle. Or maybe I just read the fucking emails for once. Yeah, that's right. Put pronunciation guides in these, especially the ones the midgets have to read. Yeah, we all know that they're elves, and elves are dumb. Next up, we have D. Ely. That's right. It's somebody, I think it's somebody new. I don't know. Sometimes people pose as alts. They say they have no headphone right now. They will get one. Sorry. Okay, you know what that means. That's right. Time to drag the midget back out. He's hiding under the sofa, so let's just pull, and I got his pants. I'll just stick the microphone under there and walk away. Her arch was nearly perfect. It was not just plain. It was not just ordinary. It is a strong, tented arch that allowed her to defy all other challenges. Her whirls and loops rose and dipped as elegantly as her hands flowed through the air, pulling the silk scarf from one to another. Her whirls, although plain, were astonishingly identifiable, and her loops doubled backwards and forward to cause a distinctive assertion known only to her. All of her natural beauty and designs culminate to create a one-of-a-kind masterpiece, fingerprints, belonging only to her. Thank you, I think that was meant for last week. Let me see. Calculate. Today's the 20th. That was the 18th, and it arrived at 3:18. So, yeah, okay. That's why I thought it was... yeah, the show had gone up in the morning, and you sent that in the afternoon, so... Merry Christmas. Oh, well, you can always look and see what the next one is, although if you send one this afternoon on Christmas, I'm going to feel kind of silly. You might feel a little sillier, but I'm going to feel silly, and that's what matters. But Merry Christmas to you anyway! You could turn that into a Christmas story somehow. The gift of the fingerprints. Bob gave his fingerprints to the pawnsmith to get a new set of gloves for Julie, who sold her Lexus and wanted a gear shift, but it was an automatic, so she was... All right, I give up. Next up, we have Clint Turpin. Yes, he's another one of those folks that were roped into this by Jeff Haidt. If he doesn't show up, there's going to be a lot of pissed off people. Not me, though. I'm not angry at all. I'm filled with the Christmas spirit. And coffee. And yogurt. And, gas. Maybe I've had too many breadsticks. Anyway, welcome to the podcast, Clint. And here's your story. Yes, all yours. Not any substitute whatsoever. Okay, do you get the margarine? No? It's real butter? Oh, wow. How much more did that cost? Oh, here's Clint.
Bananas by Clint Turpin. We're hungry all year, but around Christmas is the only time Mama comes back from the food pantry with enough for all of us. When we get into the Wonder Bread, it always smells like bananas. I ask Mama why that is. I think they use old banana boxes to deliver the food, she says. Her face is tired, lined from years of double shifts and collection calls, but she smiles at me. She passes me a peanut butter sandwich and says, "You eat that now, Johnny." I smell it. Bananas. "Oh, man, Mama," I whine. "Hush up," she says.
You hush up and you eat your Christmas banana sandwich, damn it. Yes. Thank you, Clint. That's going to start a new tradition around here at 100 Word Stories headquarters. We're going to have peanut butter and banana sandwiches every Christmas. We already get them for Elvis's birthday, but nope, we're going to have them for Christmas too. That's right. We're going to make sure they're deep fried as well. And then we're going to make sure that the bathroom is clean so that I can die in there. Right. Merry Christmas, Clint. Next up, we have Dan Absalon. Now, wait, did I get that right? No, I didn't. Oh, Jesus. Now he's going to be pissed off like Thomas is. Dan Absalonson. Ha! I win! 5 points. Dan comes in from Dan. His link is going to be in the show notes with all the other links, because you could put some capital letters in there to make it easier to read the URL. I mean, I shouldn't be telling him what to do. I've only been doing this for a few weeks. So here's Dan and his story, and I've probably pissed him off now. I'm sorry, Dan, please, I've been doing this for so goddamn long, I don't know what to say in between these. I get, you know, a little uncomfortable. Please?
Hi, this is Dan Absalonson from DanDanTheArtMan.com, same on Twitter, and you can find more free short stories much longer than this one over there. Merry Christmas, everyone.
I'm 4'2" and weigh 317 pounds. You're thinking, he needs to go on a diet, but I've worked hard to get this way. I'm Santa's big helper. You think he can scarf all those cookies and down all that milk alone? Heck no. So I spend all year training for Christmas Eve. I've won so many eating contests this year, I've lost count. But I'm sick, so my son is stepping up. What, you think he hasn't picked up on my eating habits? Let me tell you, when you're full to the brim, determination can go a long way.
Ha! You see? If you put in your shameless plug for your stories and sites and Twitters and tweeters and all your social networks, that means when I screw them up in your introduction, you can set me straight and show that you've got game and in my face. Thanks, Dan! Dan the Art Man. There! I finally got it right! 5 more points! Is anyone keeping score? No, if I start keeping track of points, then Tom's going to start like, you've got a titanium monkey! And I'll be like, what the hell am I going to do with all these monkeys? Oh, thank you, Dan, and keep coming back for more and more, but bring stories. I don't want any more of that awful bean casserole. Oh, God, that stuff. Why do people make it? No one makes it, right? Everyone can make it, which means that it's disgusting, and it has that Campbell's soup stuff in it. Ugh, God, slimy. Next up is Blake. Oh, cool. More people brought in from Jeff Height. This is great. He's from EvertimeRealms.com, and you're not. Unless you're the co-host there, then I mean, okay, I'm sorry, I'm being presumptuous. So, welcome, Blake. I want to hear what you've got. This is exciting. I can hardly wait, which means I should shut up and hit stop and then import and your MP3 file.
I'm Blake MPT from the 2-in-1 Showcase podcast at cxpulp.com and the author of the novels Other People's Heroes and The Beginner and the Christmas short story collection Along November, all available in the Amazon Kindle store, the Barnes & Noble Nook store, the iPad store, and on smashwords.com. Here's my story, Runner. Every time he did this, the track seemed shorter than before. It was like the universe was contracting, like it didn't want him to build up the speed he needed. But he was going to do it. His father did it. His grandfather, his great... Well, there were a lot of speedy runners in his family. He started to trot. There was a clacking, pounding sound beneath him. The wind breezed past his face and gently ruffled his brown coat. He pushed. He strained. He leapt. He felt the ground vanish from beneath his hooves, and he began to fly.
Yes! Yes! Oh, man! Blake, you just knocked that one out of the park. The plugs at the beginning are just perfect. Wait, there was a story there too? Oh yeah, that story was awesome as well. Thank you, Blake. That is how to plug your stuff, man. Just bam, bam, just, you know, rolling and punching and hit with this, and I'm over here, and I'm over here, and I'm, oh no, wait, you took, oh, I'm there, oh, ooh, I knock your ass out. Okay, get up and get it on the Kindle. There you go, man. Rockin'. Wow. All right. I'm all worked up. Ooh, might need to take a pill. Okay, so while I wait for my... Okay, that one passed. Ooh, man. Oh, that figgy pudding. Too much sodium. Oh, it goes right to my head. Okay, so we've got another one here from Charles White. He says Charlie White, but I know the difference. So, Charlie, tell me a story.
Christmas. I love Christmas. I was not good at it, though. I tried wrapping Christmas presents, but I didn't have the gift. If I were to steal Santa's bag of gifts, I'd have the presents, but it would be a sacrilege. I thought of giving forks, as there is no tine like the present. I even had a dog breeder cross a setter and a pointer so I could get a poinsettia. Not the same. So, I surrounded myself with friends and family. Know what I learned? To me, at least, Christmas is not about gifts, but about other people's presents.
Okay, it looks like we've gotten into the pun-heavy part of the show. Thank you, Charles White. And Merry Christmas. Please, no more puns. Oh, good. Thank goodness, because we have got a special treat for you right now. It's not just the 12 days of Christmas, but it's the 12 days of Thomas. That's right. Tom of, well, not footnote. What, his site's in the show notes. But Tom has a whole bunch of stories. 12, in fact. If he had done 8, it would have been the Tomica stories. I think tonight's the 17th night of Hanukkah. I'm not sure. I'm getting more socks. You see? Huh. I've listened to the stories. So here is Tom, and this is going to be a marathon, a Tomapalooza, call it what you will. You're going to love this. Do you want me to interrupt these and just, go to the next one, or just so that, wham, boom, like a marathon? I don't know. We'll see if he does introductions on these. What am I talking about? I should just play.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And I've got 12 stories. Timmy and Ebenezer headed briskly towards the docks, despite the cold snow and the throngs of Christmas celebrants. My good lad, at 16, you've now entered the edge of adulthood, and as such, it seems more than appropriate, a present of equal appropriateness. As the doors to Mad Sal swung wide, Timmy's eyes swung the wider. Scrooge ordered 2 triple malts, lit Timmy's cigar, and pointed to a room upstairs. On Christmas morn, Tim woke up with a blue bow tied around Mr. Happy. Don't know where you've been, or what you did, but I'm glad you took first place.
Thank you, Tom. I guess I realize now I should have just been interspersing these stories with others and just said, oh boy, it's another Tom story. It's time for Tom. And I'm doing this the night before. 'Twas the night before podcast. And all through the house, I didn't think ahead. Well, anyway, here's Tom's second story.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I have story 11. I was raised Catholic. You know, those soulless papists in league with Antichrist. Well, actually, if my parents were more inquiring, they would have seen I was actually a Neo-Machian. And to that end, I had a clear sense of the duality of Christmas. The birth of a miscellaneous Messiah, and the day free stuff arrived devoid of any substantive effort on my part. Guess which one 11-year-old kid would choose as the real spirit of Christmas? Yes, dear friends, Christmas is one big excuse to to join the festive feeding frenzy of accumulation. So buy until it bleeds.
Wait, hold. Story 11? Wait, no, this is Mark B. and Tom... What? Okay, hold on. I'm gonna... No, checking over here. No, this is... Alright, well, hold on. I'm going to play another of Tom's while I try to figure this out, alright? Here we go. So, on the third day of Thomas, my Tom gave to me... Well, another freaking story.
Hello, night people. Story number 10. Rudy came from a family of 8 kids, the same as both his mother and father. Every 10 years... all his grandfather's children gather for Christmas at the big house in Chicago. To manage the logistics, a limit of 3 gifts per person was set in place and nearly immediately ignored. Kids of any age weren't allowed to place presents under the tree, which is how both Rudy and his dad bumped into each other on the stair. Snow had fallen, and the dawn glowed off hundreds of shining packages. Half a century later, that memory still warmed Rudy's heart.
I think you're counting backwards. Okay, folks, so what you can do is play this section of the podcast backwards, and then... No, wait. Why do you have to make things so difficult, man? Okay, I know I'm supposed to be treating people nicer, because they're nicely sending in stories. I don't know, and it's Christmas, but... Come on. All right, so that makes the fourth story the... Hold on, I'm checking my fingers. God, I wish I had 12 fingers. I'm pulling... No, that's just 11. Okay, 9? 4? God. All right, here's the next story by Tom.
Hello, night people. Story number 9. Carol loved to carol, be it obscure 14th century French songs, Handel's Messiah, or pop verses like Blue Christmas or Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. She was in great demand during the holidays, singing in churches, hospitals, and with the city orchestra. Her voice rang like cut crystal, like some far-off bell just out of reach. She never sang so loud as to drown out the collective assembly of singers. Her favorite carol was God Bless Ye Merry Gentlemen, which she was taught by her father just before the war. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Okay, I've got the hang of this now. All right, here's another story by Tom.
Hello, night people, and this is story 8.
Santa is really fed up with milk and cookies. He says he wants a jack and a bratwurst. Okay, how the fuck do we pull this one off? It took me 30 years to work out the chimney thing. Now I got to sell families on the idea of the water of life and sausage? Not easy, not easy. Maybe I could get Coca-Cola to put out a nice calendar with proper placements. Yep, think that will work.
And don't forget the Cuban cigars.
I really, really hate that jolly old fat man. Ho, 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 my ass.
Hey, since when did the midget make it up there? Hey, midget, get over here. Are you holding out on me? I told you, you gotta rob Tob's house and break... I don't see anything. Oh, you sold it on eBay, huh? Where's the money? Where's the money, Lebowski? Oh, sorry. Oh, more stories by Tom? Sure, why not? We got a bunch of them. So many, they're coming out of my ears. Really. They are coming out of my ears. I've got the headphones on, and I'm playing them so loud, they're... Never mind. Here's Tom's story. The 20th, I think.
Hello, night people. And this is story number... 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 7, 7, or whatever. Wish I had counted backwards. Wait, I did count backwards. Wish I had counted forwards. Ben didn't believe in Santa. He was 10. He had carefully worked the whole thing out with his brother Bill. What do we do now? We play along as long as they keep giving us stuff. Why don't we just tell them we know? Are you crazy? And risk losing everything? I'm going to tell them. After Benny finished burying Bill, he set out the stockings and the milk and cookies. In the morning, much to his surprise, there wasn't a single present in the house. Just a small note under an empty milk glass. It said, "You've been naughty."
Oh, son of a bitch, now you admit that you're counting back. I swear, I'm going to award you the Ebola monkey. Okay, all right, I'm going to calm down. Have a sip of tea. This is not Christmassy. Maybe a cup of Wassail. I should just get up, take a walk around the house, and just relax. Okay, all right, I'm ready. Okay, story number... Okay, he's going to say it's 5. I'm going to say it's 7. Or maybe it's...
Hello, night people. Story number 6. My mom had an amazing ability for picking trees with some cosmetic ailment. I think she saw the tree as a whole. Or maybe she could see beyond its limitations and see it arrayed with the finery that had collected in our home over more than 100 years. All the same, we would laugh and point out the bald spots and the decided pitch of the trunk. Then one Christmas, it appeared in the living room. It was truly no less monstrous than Tim Curry in a clown suit. An aluminum artificial arbor. Mom smiled. We did not.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. No, you can't make me say anything. No. No. No, I'm too shell-shocked. No. PTSD. Post-traumatic Santa disorder. Absolutely. Oh, wait. Oh, my wife's cooking something. This'll make sure that I sleep while she sells all the presents on eBay. I don't think she even has an eBay account. She doesn't like to go online. She gets enough computer crap at work. I mean, if that applied to me, I mean, I wouldn't be podcasting. My God. Anyway, here's another story by Tom.
Hello, night people. And this is story number 5. Drape or throw, garland or tinsel, tiny Italian lights, or big bulbs that when one blows out, you have to check each one lights. Angel or star? Shiny ornaments or satin ornaments? Flock or no flock? Three-legged stands or four-legged stands? By the window or in the corner? Pine scent or potpourri? Cookies or brownies? Milk or eggnog? Turkey or goose? Nativity or reindeer? Popcorn and cranberries or spent nuclear rods? Did you say spent nuclear rods? Yes, got them at Z-Mart for $5 a box. You got decayed radioactive death in a box? They were on sale.
He keeps saying hello, night people, as if you're trying to escape out of the room. I know I would. I mean, it would be like... You're counting backwards. The same... Is that Mannheim Steamroller? No, really. No. No. No, man. Trans-Siberian Orchestra, whatever. That's cool. Mannheim? No. I mean, welcome to 2011. I keep saying that over and over again. This is not 1980. But still, it's Christmas. Anyone can come in. Fine. You've been here forever. You do all the stats. And all. But my God, you're just driving me up the wall. I mean, this wall right here.
Hello, night people. Story number 4. All Joe wanted for Christmas was to see his dad. Mom said that was highly unlikely. This didn't stop Joe from writing a letter a day to Santa. He had been doing this for the past 5 years. This year he figured he would address the letters to different countries, figuring Santa might not spend all his time at the North Pole. He sent them to Argentina, Moscow, Easter Island, a total of 365 nations. On Christmas morning, there was no Dad, just an envelope with "For Joe" written on it. Inside, a ticket to Paris, Texas, signed "Love, Mom."
Aw, that's so cute. Why would he be in Paris, Texas? Isn't that a movie? He's in a movie? I don't know. I'm confused at this point. Throw pillows and movies and elves and... I'm just going to keep playing them. Here's another Tom story.
Hello, Night People. Story number 3. It doesn't snow often in Northern California, which makes getting into the Christmas spirit a bit harder. Don't get me wrong, I don't miss that Widowmaker powder. It's just, Christmas needs snow, which is a major inconsistency, because my guess is, Bethlehem, not exactly in the snow belt. And here in New Orleans, they fire off fireworks on Christmas. Guess it's because they don't have any snow. Last year, we went to Tahoe for the snow. It didn't. They had to use snow machines. Guess I'll just have to get used to... What's that on the lawn?
This next one? Thunderbird marked it as junk? Well, after getting like 10 separate files, I mean, Thunderbird went nuts too. I mean, come on, you're torturing my email program. I mean, it thinks it's a scam. This is not a scam. This is like a Rick roll, only it's a Tom roll. I should have interspersed these. I still have a chance to shuffle these around, except I might have to redo the intros and oh, it's just screw it. I'm just going to play it.
Hello, Night People, and this is story number 2. There's a term in the retail industry. It's called going Christmas. It's sort of akin to going postal. It seems there is a maximum number of hours a person can listen to Christmas music before waving firearms about and droning ho, ho, ho. With stores setting up their Christmas display well in advance of Thanksgiving, the condition has become more acute. The magic number hovers somewhere between 247 and 328. After 410, there is nearly a 100% chance of Christmas psychosis. The retail industry has taken appropriate steps to minimize loss. They employ elves equipped with candy cane tasers.
Oh, I know all about wanting to wave firearms and shout ho ho ho. Trust me on this, Tom. Okay, one, two. I know, I'm being ungrateful. I'm being a bastard. But, you know, backwards and the same music and the... Well, it's different music. It's different tracks of the... Is that Yanni? I can't tell anymore. It's just coming out of my nose. Oh, that's blood. Oh, my blood pressure. Okay. One more from Tom, and then, you know, we're going to move on, put this sordid whole scandal behind us. And,
Hello, Night People. This is story 1. Nothing says the holidays like a heartwarming Christmas movie. In keeping with this year's economic downturn, we have the following for your viewing pleasure. You call this A Wonderful Life? The heartwarming story of an ex-bank manager who discovers his insurance policy is worthless. Pink Christmas, a heartwarming musical romp about a shelter for homeless generals, starring Jim Carrey and Pink. Miracle on Wall Street, a heartwarming story of Pinkertons befriending the children of the Occupy. How the Grinch Sold Christmas, the heartwarming story starring Mitt Romney. Zombie Christmas, a heartwarming holiday reunion of the stars of Friends.
Brains! Brains!
Thank goodness. Well, thank you, everyone. What? No, is this it for Tom? Oh, Lord. Oh, well. Thank you, Tom. And the Tomgasm Tomapalooza is now complete. I hope you enjoyed that, people. I sure did. God, I feel like I've been stretched on the rack. It's like Torquemada meets Tom in Christmas spirit. Oh, well, I'll see you next week, Tom. We'll get the end-of-the-year stats. All right, whoa, we got another one in. While I'm prepping this, we're getting more stories in. That's the 36th story coming in. It's like an avalanche. This is wonderful. I'm just going to pass the hat. I bet you that we could, syndicate this. Not. They're beautiful stories here, and I bet you can put them in compilations all around, but I don't want your filthy, stinking money. Got a notice on the phone. Okay, so I've got to check in on something. Muncie, Chris Monroe Muncie from Drabblecast, he got one, and he sent it in wave format. He's, pushing the boundaries of the power of Macintosh. So here we go with Muncie. 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 Did you know that Muncie means Christmas in Swahili? It doesn't. That's because you're dumb! You're all dumb! Okay, maybe not.
Merry Christmas, Christians! And to the non-Christians, Merry Non-Religious Christmas! You know the one I'm talking about. The one where you shop and get drunk with your family, then buy electronics at inexpensive prices the next day. That's a good Christmas, too, if you'd prefer to celebrate that one. Time for a story. Perhaps the greatest story ever told, but more likely not. The Greatest Story Ever Told by Christmas Monroe. He came upon a midnight clear, and as he looked upon me, I had no idea what I could possibly say. So, I sang.
Oh, Mr. T, oh, Mr. T, your golden chains delight us. Oh, Mr. T, oh, Mr. T, your golden chains delight us. Your triple mohawk looks so cool. You have such sympathy for fools. Oh, Mr. T, oh, Mr. T, your golden chains delight us.
Mr. T listened, and once I finished, he just stared, like he didn't know what to make of what he'd heard.
Wait, he finally asked. How'd you do the harmonies, fool?
Zod bless us, everyone. More of my writings at munzeestories.blogspot.com, Twitterings at MunzeeMunzee. I do not write Mr. T fanfic, but I'm sure you could find some if you googled Mr. T fanfic, although I would not recommend doing so.
Okay, I'm fine now. Really? Thank you, Chris Muncie. You put all that effort into that and you wasted it on this podcast, man. I really hope you're sending that to Mom. I hope you're all sending these out. Send them to your families because you're so proud of them. I know I am. And my family doesn't do internet. They, email me once every 2 weeks. Hi, we have the email. Okay. Next up, we have Norville Joe. All right. This one's going to be... Okay. I wonder if he's going to do the harmonica thing at the beginning. Sometimes he doesn't do the harmonica thing, and then I'm like, I set up the harmonica thing. Maybe he's going to have, on the top of his things, the harmonica thing and no harmonica thing, just like Tom has to tell me stats. Or there are 12 stories in reverse order. calm down. Calm down. You're not in a rush. Okay. Here we go. Maybe I should throw an interview in here, too. Okay, whoever wants to be in an... Wait, this will go up and then the... Oh, God. Okay, so here we go with Norval Joe and his story.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 296 with a prompt of Christmas. It's only Tuesday, and I'm already recording. I wanted to get it done in time, because who knows how busy you'll get on Christmas Eve. I did finish my NaNoWriMo story, Flypaper Boy Coming of Age. It ended up being about 91,000 words. Took me a month and a half to write, but I call that a NaNoWriMo win. We'll see if it's any good. But here's my story for this week. The 486th, 231st Trans-Dimensional Court is called to order. The Honorable Judge Wapner presiding, the bailiff said. The defendant will state his name, the judge said. Charles Dickens, Your Honor. Mr. Dickens, you're being charged with unregulated time continuum distortion and cross-dimensional plagiarism of the 482nd century classic tale, A Christmas Gerald, Judge Wapner said. Do you understand the charges? I can't say I've understood a single thing you said, Dickens said. Don't treat this lightly, Mr. Dickens, Wapner said. Prosecution, call your first witness. Thank you, Your Honor, the district attorney said. Would Tiny Jim please take the stand? Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Not just see you next week, Norval Joe. Aha, see you next year. That's right, because if you look at the... Hold on, I'm going to bring up the calendar application here. Yep, December 31st is on a Saturday, so not only is there going to be a new year starting on a Sunday, we all get ripped off of days off because the 26th and the 2nd are Mondays, but also there's going to be a Friday the 13th. So we got a whole bunch of stuff, and the Mayans are going to come and kill us. So thank you, Norval Joe. You must be Norval joking. Is that the first time I've said that? Wow, it took me this long to come up with that? Not much of a payoff, huh? Next up is Botgirl Questy, who's come back. Oh, this is going to be fun. Botgirl, you know, there's like a series coming up, The Death of Botgirl Questy. Is that Questy or Kesty or Queesty or... Oh, great, no. Petrie and Brezianu. I got to practice these. Absolonson. I've got Absolonson down, man. Screw it. All your last names are Absolonson. If I can do that one easily. I'm going to change my last name to Absolonson, man. We're going to be brothers. Or cousins. Or can I get a kidney? Here's Botgirl and her story.
Wait. Don't roll up your window. Listen to me. There's not much time. It's Christmas Eve. Santa Claus is coming to town. I'm not crazy. That's what they want you to believe. That's why they've locked me away for all these years. I've seen the truth. Santa Claus is a fucking nightmare. 40 years ago, I crept down the stairs, milking cookies. Santa knelt by our tree. He inhaled sharply, catching my scent, then looked up to capture my eyes in his predator's gaze. So you want to feed Santa? He asked. He killed them all. It wasn't me.
Thank you, Botgirl, or whoever is Botgirl hired to read that. Usually she sounds like a robot. You know,
I am a robot. I am reading stories. Don't I look cute? See? That's how Botgirl norm. Well, I'm...
Woo! Talk about being guest-friendly. Thank you, Botgirl. Oh, man, I gotta put a sock in it. Okay, next up is... Whoa! Has Whiskey Day been here before? I don't know. But this is Whiskey Day. Her tweets are just magnificent and kind of frightening. But if you've never read them, you should. Just, you know, be careful. You may want to be sitting down. especially if you're driving, because if you're driving and standing up, then you're some sort of Hollywood stuntman, you crazy person. So here's whiskey, and welcome to the... I know, it's taken over 50 minutes to get to yours, and your mom and your sister and the kids are all going to be like, doesn't he ever shut up? Well, I will now. Ladies and gentlemen, whiskey day.
My sister killed a wise man by whiskey day. If they don't get here soon, we're eating without them. Snap. We'll wait. Stop shooting the nativity. Snap. The food's getting cold, and I'm starving. Snap. Why do you have a box of rubber bands? Snap. They were a gift. Snap. They could have at least called. Snap. Score! I took out a donkey. Snap. $10 says you can't hit baby Jesus. Snap. The wise men are protecting him. I'll have to take one of them out first. Snap. Aim higher. Snap. Shut up. I know what I'm doing. Snap. Give me one. Twang. Die, wise man. Snap. I'm starving.
Thank you, Whiskey. I'm just getting everybody's names in the pod roll on the side here. Oh, you've been here before. Wow, talk about head injury theater. Right. I should check this stuff before I actually, you know, start talking. Oh, no, that would mean planning and... Did I ever tell you the story that I grew up with Legos and Micronauts? Yeah, I know, that's old. And we would have marbles, and we'd do slingshots, and we'd make these things, and we'd slam them with marbles, and we'd make buildings with all of these play school blocks and with a bowling set, and we'd knock them down. I was raised in Chicago, so the Sears Tower and the John Hancock Building and all of that, we leveled them day after day. It was quite sad. Although, really, can you blame us? Thank you, Whiskey Day. And next up, oh God, we've got so many people this week. It's just crazy. It's Tura. Tura, okay, I'm going to get this right. Tura Bregiano. And I want to say that because, inventory offer from Marianne McCann. Oh, this is going to be Marianne's holiday card 2011. Wear me and click. Oh, I know you're setting me up for something horribly embarrassing and horrifying. So, of course, I'm going to do it. So, while I'm off getting my ass kicked by a holiday card, here's Tura.
I remember that night. Place was packed, so I let them dust out in a shed. Then the portents start. New stars, angels, sorcerers wanting in the action. Story to tell my grandkids, I thought. Later, though, I hear stories. Imagine having a 2-year-old god in your village. He killed people on a whim. No one could touch him, he'd just do worse. And the pranks by Mithras. So, he grows up, gets some sense but not enough. Then it seems the juju's going away. Didn't take long to get him nailed up then. I just hope he stays dead. And if you'd like to know more about what it's like to have a 2-year-old god in your village, read the Infancy Gospel of Thomas. It's basically 2nd century New Testament horror fanfiction, and very popular in the Middle Ages. Merry Christmas, anyway.
Cool! Oh, and did they have podcasts back then, too? No? Oh. Well, I want the audiobook for them. Oh, wait, you sent that! Win. 5 points. How many points do I have now? 20? 25? Okay. Thank you, Tura. Oh, cool, we've got a whole new thing. We could just... Maybe the next weekly challenge topic will be 2nd century New Testament horror fanfiction. Oh, no, you suggested a bright new day. Oh, same thing. Next up, it's Chris the Nuclear Kid. He sent this one in himself. Now I have his email address. Relax, Stephen. I'm not some creep. I'm a weirdo, but I'm not some creep. I'll just, you know, charge double for this. Oh, here's Chris the Nuclear Kid. Relax, relax. It's okay. You have your parents' permission. Really, literally. I mean, it's Steven the Nuclear Man. Duh. So he claims.
Timmy stamped his foot in the snow. It was a big tree with lots of decorations. When I got home from kindergarten, it was gone. The policeman raised his eyebrow. You think there's a Christmas tree thief? Yes. Timmy clenched his jaw. It was the Grinch. The police officer chuckled. The Grinch is imaginary. Timmy's face grew hotter. No, he's not. A green man jumped from the roof. The kid's right. He took a sack off his shoulder, shoved the policeman into it, then looked at Timmy. Who needs roast beast? He said, shoved Timmy into the sack, too.
Wow, that was a good one. Thank you, Chris the Nuclear Kid. All right. And, you know, Christmas is a time for family to come together and record stories and tell stories and edit stories and then send and submit stories and then several weeks later get rejection letters. I don't think I've ever sent a single rejection letter, but I have berated people now and then in audio form, which I think is more exciting. But I really, when was the last time I actually rejected a story instead of just freaking forgot it? Well, I'm not going to forget this one, because it's from Steven the Nuclear Man, and we've had our, well, okay, I've been a dick. But still, he's overlooked that and continues to send stories. So really, it's the season of tolerance and putting up with my shit. Steven the Nuclear Man? Wait, hold on, this is more than 100 words. This is 200 words. All right. Just this once. But I swear if you pull any more shit on me. Oh, is it still recording? Oh. Here's Steven the Nuclear Man with his Christmas tale. That's over 100 words long.
They don't tell you that part, the man says. He is a shabby, olive-skinned man outside the store Christmas display, smelling slightly of wine. I shiver in the cold, wanting to get on to the coffee shop in the office lobby, but I never quite got the hang of brushing past people. What part? In the stories, they don't tell you about the dark side. I start to walk past as I talk. Sure they do. Luke, I am your... He shifts in front of me. The dark side of love. The part where you give yourself completely, you know? He looks me over, hard. No, you don't. Look, I gotta... You can love them. And no matter how much you do, they might not love you back. I look around for a cop. Someone, anyone. But they're all used to the big city and ignore us. Sometimes it's worse and they love you for a while, but then one day it's all different and weird. And you try to go on, but it's hard. I try bullying past, but he grabs my arm, eyes flashing, the twin wounds in his hands dripping onto my jacket. But you can't let that stop you from trying to love again. He stares at the little porcelain infant in the nativity. You can't let that stop you from trying to love again.
My God, such a powerful Christmas message. Why am I limiting people to 100 words when they can craft such amazing things? I've failed. I've failed you all. I've roped you up. I've shackled you. All these shackles like Marley. Marley's ghost. Covered with ghost shackles. Now wait, if he's a ghost and he can pass through walls and doors, Why would shackles bother him? Because he's a freaking ghost. I don't know. Forget it. Anyway, thank you, Stephen the Nuclear Man, and I look forward to Spec the Hall. Here, I'm going to go there right now. Spec the Halls with Stephen the Nuclear Man. Okay, buy the ebook support. Oh, it's already out. So it's going to Heifer International. Ooh, you can buy heifers. So it's full of cows, right? Oh, cool. All right, so it's going to be speculative fiction about cows. Okay, and 1.5 bottles of wine to myself, drunk ate the word, time for dinner. Okay, Luna, you be careful, girl. I really should not do social networking. Whoa, I'm over an hour? Oh, my God, I'm late. Okay, I'm going to read some more stories here, or no, wait, I'm going to play some, and I'm just going to edit, oh, and we've still got Jeff Heights coming in. Oh, dear, if this goes over 2 hours, people aren't going to listen to it, and they're not going to hear the extra special bonus at the end. But those of you who are still listening, and not like you haven't hit pause and pause and pause, you're going to, by now, I just want to warn you, you're going to be like, ah, damn it. So here we go with Zachman. Zachman and his story. No, wait, how many does he have? He has two? Oh. All right, but this is going to be like 15 hours, man. It's not going to fit in anybody's damn player. You're going to be like, oh, God damn it. They give us Siri and she takes up so much memory, but freaking, you know, 64 gig on this dumb thing. God, where was the 128? So here we go with Zachman and his story. Stories. Oh, God. If you think that, you know, you've gone an hour into this. Do you know how much time it takes me to produce these? Because I screw up every now and then. It has been 26 hours. The coffee machine has given up. I'm now just, you know, eating the grounds. Oh. All right. But still, I've got Bailey's. Plenty of Bailey's left.
Dylan tells his brother about Santa. Do you know why Santa has been around for so long and rarely changes? Is it magic? No, that is just silly. It is because Santa was replaced by a steam-powered robot secretly built by Axelrod Steamworks Incorporated. That must be why he never runs out of coal for your stocking. Santa has such a big belly for the boiler. He also has 9 clockwork reindeer and has to spend 6 months winding them before Christmas. Does Santa come if Christmas Eve is a spare the air night? We can always hope.
I always thought it was magic. Oh, here's another story, and I'm not going to give Zachman shit like I did to Tom, because it's not like he's counting them backwards or driving me nuts with Mannheim Yanni or... Okay, all right, fine. It's been an hour. Have you taken a break yet? Really? Because if you take a break, all the people who have listened all the way through, and there are going to be people who skip to the end now, they're going to be like, oh, no, what the hell does he do at the end? Oh, screw this. I'm tired of this crap. So here's another one by Zach Mann. Come on, stick with me here. Come on, stay with me. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. You don't need to go. Pee in your chair. All right, do that anyway.
Shop employee asked the man why he looked distraught. Well, I lost my wife, he replied. Oh, that is so sad for you to be alone this time of year, consoled the employee. No, the man said. She is not recently departed, but currently misplaced. I am somewhat forgetful, you see, or I would have remembered. Remembered what exactly? Oh, sorry, remembered that a stop at a store I expect to be 20 minutes is often 3 hours if my wife is looking for gifts. I will call her. Music plays right behind him. Hi, dear.
Thank you, Zachman. You know, I finally signed up for Steam. I'm is full of crap there. I'm is full of crap everywhere. I mean, people are like, hey, what's your idea over there? Is full of crap. you know, as if anyone else is going to take it. And if someone else takes it, someone's like, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? They're like, oh, God. Frag you and all that. So any future things, they're going to be all these jerks, you know, taking it now. Great. That's why I'm just going to stick to AOL IM. So, right. Thank you, Zachman. And more. We've got more coming in. This one's by Danny Dwyer. Hello, hello. He had bronchitis, a nasty case of bronchitis last week, as opposed to a pleasant one. Oh, bronchitis. Oh, that feels so, so rugged. So here's Danny with his story.
Hello, hello, and happy holidays, everybody. This is Danny Dwyer here with Weekly Challenge 296, Christmas. And Merry Christmas to all of you. So here we are with my entry this week, Christmas. The enemies were engaged in battle. Santa Claus on one side, Jesus Christ on the other. It was a heated duel to the death. Just like open mixed martial arts, except much more biblical. The bell rang, the gloves came off, and a head-to-head battle started to the death. At stake, the spiritual or material survival of Christmas. After this epic battle, one ideal would permanently fall. Then, without warning, lawyers came running in with cease and desist orders obtained from an unnoticed emergency motion filed earlier today. It appears South Park already covered this story. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Danny. Oh, I should probably mention, it's Christmas morning now. Around, well, it's a little before 6. I got a lot of the show prepped last night, and was wondering, you know, ooh, what would Santa leave under the tree? And then I realized it wouldn't be Santa leaving stuff under the tree, it would be you guys leaving stuff in the inbox. And sure enough, the overnight stragglers started pouring in, especially from Jeffrey Height of Great Heights and Flying Island Press and that mad scientist thing, and I think there are several warrants out for his arrest. But still, he got the word out among his posse, and sure enough, his posse provideth, as we've heard earlier, and then, he recorded for 4 more people. So here's his story, and then from 4 others that he recorded on behalf of. So that way the midget didn't have to go all crazy. Well, crazier. So I just want to say now, thank you, Jeffrey, for making this, well, what it is. It's just, wow. We've got, you know, now that I look at it, over 40 stories. So this is the most. And I think, you know, I'll let you judge whether this is the best. Just the whole thing, you know, every week, just all the creative stuff and all the amazing things people come up with, the silly stuff, but also seeing how sometimes somebody comes up with a weird skew on the topic, and another person comes at it from the same crazy, oh my God, two people thought this up angle, and then, of course, are the ones where the topic is up, and then everybody comes up with the same thing, and it's like, oh, man. And there's beauty in everything. There's beauty in everything. So, here's Jeff Height, and I'm gonna go get some coffee. So, would you like to join me? It's kind of oily. Ugh.
Hello, this is Jeffrey Height, and this is my entry for the Christmas Week Underword Story Contest, week number 296, I believe. I want to take just a second to thank everybody who participated this week. I don't think we got 100 stories, but I think we got a lot closer than we have in the past. So thank you very much to everybody. Lawrence has been doing this for a number of years, and I really think that, it's a big deal when we can all show some support. So thank you very much. Here's my story. The Christmas Clause. Claus stepped out of the Advent Towers feeling like he'd missed something. He'd gone in there to,
to what? He couldn't remember.
What did you do?
The complex owner asked. He said the towers had to come down because he kept disappearing.
So what did you do?
Well, I brought him in here to talk about turning the reality dampers down a bit.
And?
Well, I turned them all the way up. I think he lost part of his memory of the event. The part where he said the towers had to come down. So, that's my story. The Christmas Clause. Thank you very much again to everyone who participated this week, and, yeah. See you next week.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Man. Although, I gotta tell you, you know, I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth, but don't call it a contest. It's just the weekly challenge, man. If it were a contest, we'd have, like, you know, gladiators and stuff. Or I'd have, you know, I'd put armor, battle armor on the cats and make them fight. It's just, come on. It's not a contest. It's a challenge. It's a collaboration. It's a happening. It's a festival. It's a weekly festival. Maybe it's like Sunday dinner or Sunday breakfast or Sunday brunch and folks just coming around, you know, over the omelet bar and saying, hey, I got this story. This is what happened to me this week. This is what's coming up. You know, I'm a little, you know, all this stuff. If it were a contest, man, you would win because you have the biggest heart. And also, I should stop kissing your butt and start kissing your shoulders and neck and... Okay, that's a little uncomfortable. So here's some more stories that Jeff's posse brought in. That I guess they didn't get microphones for Christmas, so, or they haven't unwrapped them yet. So here we go.
Hello, this is Jeffrey Height one more time, and this is a story from J.P. Lozier. The holidays haven't been the same since they banned religion. It was hard to let go of the crosses, stars, or candelabras as appropriate, but not anymore, I guess. Then, we had to stop decorating trees, which wasn't so bad since it was a pain. Then, more. Lights outside, which meant less embarrassing trips to the emergency room. Next, wreaths were swiftly abolished. Last year, some research-happy Grinch found an obscure reference to snowmen in a pagan text. Now, there's almost nothing we few old-timers recognize for late December, with one notable exception, Cyber Monday. Although, it lasts 3 weeks. Thank you, and I hope you enjoyed the stories this week. Alright, so that's all the stories from me. If you sent a story to me and I missed it, I'm really, really sorry. But that's why the podcast is run by Lawrence and not me, because Lawrence doesn't screw up. And I do. Alright, so have a Merry Christmas, everyone. And see you next year.
J.P. Lozier. Google Plus, right? Oh, cool. Oh, by the way, first, thank you, J.P. and Jeffrey, for recording that for J.P. Hopefully Santa got you a microphone and socks. You can put a sock over the microphone as a windscreen. That's a tip. Did C.C. Chapman ever teach that to you? Oh, no, he wanted you to buy a $500 windscreen from musiciansfriend.com and then, you know, through his affiliate site. What? No. Oh, I thought I'd stay positive here. I wasn't going to bash the old bashies. I've failed. I've just... Look, I saw the ghost of podcasting past, then the ghost of podcasting present. That was it. And it's like, oh, God, there's no future. Well, the future one was off at, you know, NPR and PRI and Fox, all those other places. Yeah, it's become corporate. There's no room for independents like us anymore. But that's okay. We can keep doing it. We have fun, right? Oh, what was I saying? Right, Google Plus. I post all the drafts of the daily stories that I do up on Google Plus, and then maybe, well, right now, let's see, I'm up to November 20th of next year, for crying out loud. I've been on a tear. Wow. Oh, and so they're up there for comment, or you've got a whole year at this point to give pointers or tips or tell me I use the word just too much, and I'll get them edited. Or you say, you could cut this down and that down and that down. And if you, we could turn them into poetry, man. Also, someone suggested I do these live somewhere. Well, I do them live in Second Life. Well, that doesn't count. That's too complicated. It's so much easier to get in your car and drive somewhere and then have to sit around and wait and stare at things. And now, you know, we all smell bad in a coffee house, but I could do that. I could do that if you're in the Houston area and you know a place that's artsy-fartsy that, you know, they don't sniff you for, you know, why aren't you wearing a keffiyeh? Yeah, you know, it's like, uh-oh. No. Let's see, who's next? Here's another one from Jeff's group. And, man, this is just, wow. If I tried to do these all this morning, oh, yeah, I, believe me, if I'm cranky now, oh, man. Mist, what are you doing? Oh, Lord.
Hello, this is Jeffrey Height, and this is a 100-word story from Scott Rush. Chris to the pole, are you reading me?
I hear you here, loud and clear.
Reindeer Alpha's light is completely foxtrot. Visibility zero, requesting backup. I'm consulting the list, boss. Two ticks. Static blended in the connection, but Chris waited patiently. Thanks for holding. We're calling in the hair. You'll have our operations in your quadrant online before you can say ho, ho, ho. My stars. Is that the best we can do? Affirmative, sir. Xena knew that it would have to do. But if the kids got eggs instead of toys, you'd have a new pair of bunny slippers by New Year's Day.
You know, I could use a pair of bunny slippers. Okay, that was Scott Roach. Hey, Scott, where have you been? Oh, man, wow, that was a good one. If you, dude, if you're spinning out good ones like that, you come back. Come back. Get a slightly, okay, maybe smaller audience over here. I haven't looked at the numbers recently, but I think we're down to single digits in listeners now. We used to have thousands. Now it's like, oh, good, now we got to listen to Terry Gross, and ooh, we can catch the Colbert Report the next morning, and oh, wow, this iPhone, oh, Angry Birds. You know, it was the end when your podcasting playing device could play Angry Birds. I think that was it. Now, you know, you don't see any of the old-timers, you know, like Adam Curry saying, well, you know, we can just goof off for a few years and, you know, kiss Ron Paul's ass and eventually, Angry Birds will come around and wipe us all out. Good. Right. We've got more stories here from Jeff's posse, as we call them, the crew. Let's see if I can... Zach Ricks. Let's see if I can find the Zach Ricks stories, because he's got two of them here. So, one moment. I'm going to just cue them up. And here we go, Zach Ricks and his stories.
Hello, this is Jeffrey Height, and I'm reading a story by Zachary Ricks. Everyone in town remembers the year that Sally Muckinfutch got a goldfish for Christmas. Seems her dad worked at a lab outside of town. Everyone pretty much knew about the place, but we all ignored it. Well, until Joe Muckinfutch brought his work home with him as a present for his little girl. Under the lights of the Christmas tree, that thing grew thousands of times and started rampaging, Goldzilla style. Luckily, it was also the year Santa brought me a shiny new AK-47. Of course, we were all picking goldfish scales out of our lawns come spring.
Right, this is Jeffrey Hyde again, with another story from Zach Ricks. It was a rare year that Christmas. No snow on the ground, and unseasonably warm. That was the year his parents got him the red skateboard. No good would come from this. The addition of a rather large driveway didn't help matters. No, they didn't help matters at all. The portly youngster mounted the board and almost immediately found himself on the ground, staring at the gray grain of the concrete. Undaunted, he mounted again, and again, and yet again, and yet again still, until it was also a very Merry Christmas for all at the Minor Emergency Clinic.
And that's the five from Jeffrey Heitz's posse over there, and a little bit earlier, and just, wow. we've got ourselves a whole party here now. Is this thing going to run 2 hours? There's more coming in. Daniel Worthington just sent one in, man. He'll be in a few minutes. We still got more. And I'm surprised you're still listening, but got a big surprise at the end. Oh, yeah. That's where I announce the end of this podcast. Just kidding. Well, I'll announce the end of this show, but the podcast itself, oh, man, this thing's going to keep going, a story a day until I die. I mean, how explicit is that? Even if you have to put a pencil in my mouth or strap it to another extremity, this thing's going to keep going, man. And it's probably going to go well beyond that, because, you know, if I write 2 or 3 stories a day, who knows when it'll end. Oh, so hopefully it'll end before the sun comes up. Right. So let's see, who else? Who else do we have stories from? That was from Jeff Heitz's crew. Ooh, Ishtar has returned. Ishtar. And I'm not talking about the movie. No, that movie will never come back. Thank God. So here we go with Ishtar, the butterfly kitty, little this, little that, with spikes and shoes that are, woo, just Zappos would, you know, be transporting hazardous material. I mean, that dangerous weapons across state lines. So Ishtar, welcome back, and here's your story.
Nobody at my house celebrates Christmas anymore. You see, there's a reason why they place warning labels on medication. Warning, may cause sleepwalking. Oh, sure, if I read it, I would have locked the door. Warning, may cause loose morals. Dancing on tabletops. When I woke up, I told my family it was the medication. Believe me, I would never tell Nana John that her breath stinks. Kiss your brother repeatedly and pose nude is a very nasty Santa Claus. What do you mean it's all on the internet? 1 million views and counting? Wow.
Thank you, Ishtar. Now, what's your YouTube address? Oh, just... we got a note here from Meredith. Hey, I can't figure out how to record without a microphone, and I really do have to go, but presents under the tree. Thanks, I'll get a microphone by next week and see if I can do this again. Did we get one from Meredith early? I don't know. So, the midget could have recorded for you. I mean, Ishtar sent one in, and midget, and all those other people. I just, never mind. I'll just... I mean, let me just read the promo here, and if you don't or can't feel like recording it... Okay, all right. I'm not going to belabor this. It's Christmas. I'm not going to get all bitchy. I've got so many more to go. Next up, it's Anne Pham. You see, 4 letters, and I still can't pronounce it right. All right, let's go back through the names. All right, so it's Thomas Petrie, Dan Absalonson, Dora Bregianu. See? No, I got that wrong. Bregianu. Oh. Just Tora. Great. Now, I've... Coffee. Drink the coffee. Oh, by the way, I should have mentioned, this podcast has an explicit tag. If you couldn't figure it out by now. You stupid fucks. There.
All right, so now you've got, like, all the kids and Grandma and Pastor Phil. And...
Well, looks like somebody's going to hell. Let's just take these presents back. Stick my finger down my throat and, you know, give you back your eggnog.
Are there other forms of nog? I'm not sure. What, is there watermelon nog? Ooh, how about mango nog? Okay. Right, this could have been 1 hour long, now it's going to be five. Anne, here's your story, and welcome to the podcast.
We go to Uncle Tim how tomorrow eat together as a family for Christmas, Carly's mom reminds her, walking through her living room to get to her bedroom. Carly accidentally glances up straight ahead out a window. Warm lights illuminate onto her face. Shocked and offended, she drops her pizza on the hardwood floor. She shrieks at her mom, "Why do they put it in the window?" Her mom does not understand the big deal, looking at the statement-making Christmas tree. Her whispers as she walks to her bedroom, head down, "I do not celebrate Christmas."
There you go. Hopefully the midget didn't mangle that too much. All right, beware the hairy mangle. Sorry, Matthew. All right, so thank you, Anne. And keep on coming back. We got plenty of room. I mean, it's not like I'm going to run out of hard drive space. I've got a... Okay, sure, I pulled a 500 out of the laptop when I put the solid-state drive in. But there's a ton of space left over, and it's divided into two partitions. One of them is practically empty. The other one is half empty. Or, wait, no, it's half full. I don't know. So, right. Let's see, who's next? Oh, Daniel! I guess there weren't that many queued up. Just, I'm deluding myself again. Oh, well. I thought there'd be, like, you know, Caleb would come rushing back in, or... Ellison, not Todd Spargo, he's real mad. I mean, after all, it is Christmas, but, yeah. Spirit of forgiving? No. So, here's Daniel with his story, and he got this one in just at the last moment, man. And I'm going to hold off on publishing this maybe an hour or two, and then, like... Then I'll just go, oh my God, you know, everyone, the first person that was like, you know, hey, where the hell is it, man? Usually I wake up and it's right there. You know, what the hell are you doing? You just picking your nose or something? Well, yeah. That's something that I got to take care of in 2012. I stopped biting my nails long ago when Piper died. I don't know, maybe when Nardo dies I can stop picking my nose. Is that okay with you, buddy? No, he's still moving. Okay, I'm going to pick my nose now. Here we go with Daniel and his story. Merry Christmas.
The Elven Curse by Daniel Worthington. Elrond rationally hoped this winter would be different. Yet when the first snowflake fell, each of the elves felt the dreadful tug. Over the course of the following week, the elves vanished. Only the trail of their footprints leading north marked their departure. Rivendell lay empty. When December 25th arrived, they were once again freed from their yearly burden, the curse that forced them to provide slave labor for Santa Claus. "We must find a way to break this curse," the elves cried out. "Perhaps the answer," Elrond ruminated, "is to sail to the west. There we may be free."
Thank you, Daniel. Well, I was waiting up for a story from TJ, but he's having, some adventures in offline dating. So, just Merry Christmas, TJ, and he says he's going to have two stories next week. So, yes, we know we have two stories next week. And that may be the only two after I've completely ridiculed, mocked, made a fool. Sorry. Okay. We've got one more, though. Yeah, we've had, 45? How many are there? I don't know. I lost count at 40. which is the same with my age. God, I feel old. But You know, as long as you're young at heart, right? Speaking of heart, I need to get a stress test. So, enough neuroses. One more story. We all know who it's from. Do they even celebrate Christmas on Planet Z? I'm not sure. Let's find out, shall we? Christmas with Planet Z.
Long ago, Santa kept his naughty and nice lists in a ledger, but record-keeping issues came up. Naughty kids getting on the nice list. Nice kids on the naughty list. Some kids were on both, which made deliveries even more confusing. Millions of kids went unregistered, or their status changed because of a Buddhist stepfather, or they were adopted by Jews. Santa decided to go high-tech at that point, tapping into global databases for grade cards and juvenile police records. The artificial intelligence monitoring system took one glance, decided everybody was naughty, and reached out for the nuclear launch codes.
And there you have it, a huge number of stories about Christmas. Thank you to everyone who was a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com for links to all the authors' websites. Well, if they sent them in. If they didn't, you can still email me, and I can edit them in. I can get them up there. It's just, you know, it's WordPress. It's so easy. All right. The text of the stories, an archive of past shows over 6 years. Social network sharing options so that you too can fill up Twitter and Google and Facebook with all sorts of stuff that people will scroll past, and a whole bunch of other stuff. The more people see this on Google+, Facebook, and Twitter, the more explaining you'll have to do to your loved ones, co-workers, and parole officers. Oh, and the NSA, which isn't spying on you. No, not at all. GoDaddy, you've been very naughty. Until next week, when the topic will be return, this is Lawrence Simon saying thank you for listening. Merry Christmas. And as always, keep it brief. Hi there, this is Lawrence Simon. As an extra Christmas bonus, the first 5 people to email me will get a gift certificate to your choice of iTunes or Amazon. You can spend it on, I don't know, Spec the Halls or Flying Island Press, some of the e-publishing efforts from the various writers who have been a part of the weekly challenge over the years. It's your choice. This is my way of saying thank you all for being a part of the weekly challenge in 2011. Whether you listen, write, record, link, show up to my live readings in Second Life, or all the above. All the above? Man. When do you have time for all that? Oh, well. So, thank you all for listening. And as always, keep it brief.